Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, it's such a copycat country. It really is. It's a copycat culture internationally. And why are we surprised when we hear almost daily now some fruit bag is getting out of control on an airplane? Some nutcase, some Fruit Loop is drunk, or he's running up and down and he's screaming the Sears Tower or something. They had another one, some nut. They had to return the plane to Atlanta. Was it going Atlanta to L.A. or L.A. to something like that? And he went nuts, and they had to land the plane and take him off the plane and slap him around. Because people, now, this is the new sport. Somebody going ape on a plane. Hey, let me just get up and start going, hey! I don't think they should turn those planes around and land them. I think that they ought to take the guy, open up the door, throw him out. No, seriously, I think that what they should do with anybody causing a disturbance on an airplane now is tie him up with masking or duct tape and tie up the mouth, just like Giancarlo Giannini and Hannibal. You remember how Hannibal tied up that cop on the thing? Tie him up and just keep on going. And when we get to where we're going, then we'll let you off. Why screw up everybody's vacation because Ace here decides that he wants to have a party and he wants to pretend like he's a terrorist? Forget it, man. So they had another one. And by the way, there's a U.S. attorney on TV as I speak addressing the anthrax situation. Until we, you know, if I don't get anything different here, I will continue to say what I've been saying ever since this happened. It's got nothing to do with terrorism. And so far, nobody has said anything to say that it does. And it's a isolated instance. And yeah, it's probably criminal. And life goes on. You know, I was sitting here thinking about the day that I got married. And I just want to say this. I want to say this because it's been on my mind. And I hold nobody responsible. I hold no one to blame for what happened that night. But Marie and I got married on the Queen Mary in Long Beach, California on July the 11th, 1997. And we got married in front of about 800 of my listeners in the Los Angeles area. And KFI Radio in Los Angeles sponsored and promoted and produced our wedding. And we had Hansen's fruit juice, and we had a marvelous buffet catered in for our listeners, and it was really great. We had a band, had people dancing and singing and partying. We had wine. We had beer. We had a good time. I say we in the collective sense because, you know, I didn't have a good time. And why didn't I have a good time? Here's why. I was supposed to be on the air. I was supposed to be on the air that evening helping our early evening guy, a wonderful guy by the name of Wayne Resnick. Wayne was broadcasting from our wedding between 6 and 9 p.m. And then I was to go on the air at 9 o'clock that night and conclude my show in the Los Angeles area. The night before, I had done my three-hour show featuring all of my prospective, all of my future in-laws. And I'd been on from 9 to midnight. But here was my wedding night. Marie and I got married in front of our listeners. It was broadcast live on the station, and then at 9 o'clock, I was to go on the air. But before 9 o'clock, I was to help Wayne do his show by circulating through the crowd and getting comments. The point that I'm making, I've held this inside for so long, I couldn't party on my wedding night. I was not allowed to go out and just get blind, stinking, rat-assed, on the floor, just a pool of vomit drunk. No, I couldn't do that. Why? Because I had to, from a promotional standpoint, from a advertising standpoint, and from a broadcasting standpoint, I had to go on the air and do a show that night. And you know something? I have resented that, and I've been angry about that for almost what is now 4.5 years. And I'm here tonight to tell you that blew. That's been bugging me for so long. And when I talk to friends, I say, well, you know, how was your wedding, Phil? It was pretty good. You know, Maria danced. My wife, she was the last person off the dance floor. She had a gorgeous gown. She danced her ass off. I'll never forget my brother-in-law, Carlos, carrying her around the dance floor. Everybody was having such a good time. And what was Hendry doing? Walking around with a microphone. Hi, how are you? Oh, great, Phil. Having a great day. Oh, that's great. Okay, it's Phil Hendry at my own wedding. And now back to you, Wayne. And for 4.5 years, I've held that inside. But as I look back on that night, I was cheated. Cheated out of my rightful party. Now, it's no one's fault. I'll bet you if I'd approached David that night and I said, look, can I have the night off? It's my wedding. I don't know what he would have said. Something tells me he would have said, hey, look, man, we're producing this wedding for promotional purposes. What good is it if you're not on the air? And he's right. When I approached KFI and I said, would you guys like to sponsor the wedding of Maria and I? And they said yes. I knew at that time that I'd have to be an integral part of promoting it. But it was such a good party, man. It was such a great, it was a great, just imagine 800 people. The band was outstanding, Rockola. The food was great. The drinks flowed. Everybody was in tuxes. Everybody looked great. We had cigars out. My brother was there. My best friend was there. All of my friends were there. My sister, everybody with the maid of honors, everybody going ape. All kinds of goofy crap. Handel was there dressed as a freaking friar because he's a universal church cat. You know, he's one of those preachers, one of those mail order preachers. So he like married us. And it was just solid from top to bottom. And I couldn't enjoy any of it because after we got off the air with the wedding, I had to go around and I had to work this freaking thing. I wanted to have a few beers. I wanted to have a couple of glasses of champagne. I wanted to dance with my wife, you know. Yeah, I danced with her, but it was like a photo op dance. Because somebody was videoing it. Oh, yeah, the Romance Channel. Let me just alert you guys. Have you seen the Romance Channel thing with me and Maria? Please don't. No, I'm kidding. It's fine. Anyway. Oh, God. Every time I see that, I want to vomit blood. Well, it's fine. The Romance Channel followed us around during the wedding, and they took pictures of us. And then they got me on film saying, it was really just very special. And then Maria and I kissed. It was very chaste. And it just all looks gay. And I say that with all due respect to my very fine gay listeners. All right, it doesn't look gay. It looks stupid. It just, I didn't dig it. Anyway, I couldn't enjoy. I wasn't allowed to enjoy. I didn't allow myself to enjoy my wedding. Now, Mike just walked in here and said, why didn't you have a few drinks? Why didn't you just go ahead? I said, it wouldn't have been professional. Oh, look at you. Aren't you ever the professional guy? Well, I mean, it wouldn't have been professional for you to have a couple of belts on your wedding night and go on the air. Is that it? Is that it, Phil? Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Let me ask you a question, Phil. Has professionalism helped you over the last 30 years as you sweated and slaved at the age of 38, breaking into a coin jar to try to get your next meal? Was that helping you then? All the professional years that you spent in broadcasting, doing what was expected of you? Did that help you on that day when your car was in the shop and your bike had been stolen and you had to walk your tapes and resumes 4 miles to the post office to get them mailed off while you were looking for that job there in the summer of 1990? Did your professionalism help you then, huh? Was there anybody swooping down to say, good job, Phil? No, I guess there wasn't. You're a schmuck. Did your professionalism help you when you would go in night after night after night, coming up with different bits, coming up with creative radio, doing that graveyard shift in that rotten radio station in Minneapolis because the general manager hated you so much he would punish you for things you did on the air by putting you on the overnight shift? I worked for a guy like that. Hey, we had some complaints about your show. Is that why I'm doing midnight to five? Yeah. Oh, man. I did the best show that I've ever done. Well, a lot of people didn't like it, and your show sucks. And you're going on midnight to five. And do you know that when I got that offer to go to Miami, and he wanted to extend my contract in Minneapolis, I was as professional as I could be. I said, thank you very much. It's been very nice working for you, sir. But I've decided to move on. And as I was cranking up the middle finger, boing. Did that help me then? No. You know, there comes a time when you just got to throw all of that out the window and you got to just live, baby. Live. Tomorrow is promised to no man. This has been 3 minutes with Nick Michael. No, I'm kidding. This has been, anyway, 1-800, our fans in L.A., you know what I'm talking about. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Bill Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Among the really irresponsible, and it would be amusing if it wasn't just so downright insane, things that have been going on lately on American radio and television. I was listening to a radio show this morning, and they had a doctor on, and this was the question. Doctor, is this anthrax thing terrorism? Now, I can understand getting a doctor on to tell you all about anthrax and tell you what it does to the body and what it can do to the spinal fluid or whatever, but how exactly is a doctor qualified to comment on whether it's terrorism or not? But this is the sort of dumb junk going on the radio, okay? It's good, let's see, that's what happens, man, when you're like hiring people right out of the broadcasting school. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show, Melba. Hi, Melba.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. I was calling because I overheard you talking about your wedding, and I totally understand that you didn't want to, you know, drink at your wedding. Or
I was working.
I guess, but...
You guess? No, I'm telling you, I was working.
Okay, well,
no,
I understand.
I'm lying to you. I wasn't working. I was I was on a trampoline all night.
I thought so.
Okay.
You liar.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's me.
Whenever my husband and I got married, we had a huge wedding, and we go to the largest church in our community, and
do they drink?
No, but he.
That's the problem with some churches, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like looked down upon or anything.
Oh, cool. Okay.
We don't like drink in church.
We don't like.
No,
you don't like what? You said
nothing.
Something about a garter belt? What? All right.
No. But he didn't want to drink at our wedding because he's looked on as a pillar in our community. And so...
Oh, that kind of baloney, huh?
Yeah.
So behind closed doors, he doesn't mind little red eye, huh, in the old glass?
No,
couple of fingers of Chevis Regal. But
right,
in front of it...
We
drink all the time is what you were going to say.
We drink all the time.
Beautiful.
I haven't had a drink all night.
All right, honey. So, well, you just used the S word on me, all right? Yeah. She's a church-going woman, but she said we were S-faced all night. All right, dear, I got to go, Melba. You know, not because I didn't mind the language. It's just it's going to take you about an hour to get this story out. Here is Nick. Nick, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil. How you doing?
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, I got some ideas I want to share with you on disruptions on the airplane.
Go ahead.
I think what they ought to do is seal up the cockpit, make it airtight. I have a camera in the cockpit, and then if there's any disruption back there, fire in some nitrous oxide or some gas, put everybody to sleep, land the plane, pull the guys off the plane.
Put everybody, including the passengers, to sleep.
Yeah, yeah. My wife's a flight attendant, and she thinks I'm crazy, but everybody else.
Well, what about the idea of an air marshal just sticking a Ruger to his head and saying, "Now you can sit down and be calm."
Well, yeah, but bullets flying in the airplane at 35,000 feet.
Well, they say that certain bullets will have a minimal effect even on a pressurized cabin.
Yeah.
And that it doesn't exactly suck everybody out the window the way we see in the movies. If you penetrate the cabin with a bullet, you'll get a real sucking sound, which is a lot of times what I hear while I'm doing my show, just a large sucking sound. But the fact is, I think it's probably better to, I don't know, you tell me, man, do we have to land these planes and escort with the jet and everything? Yes, I understand the jets, okay? I can dig that. But, like, you know, the guy radios back, everything's cool, we got him tied up, everything's set. All right, babe, we'll break off now and we'll go land at the Air Force Base. But do we have to turn planes around because of some nutcase who is obviously a looky, a monkey see, monkey do, copycat kind of a guy, just screwing up everybody's airplane flight because he's loud and stupid. And that's, you know, what we're talking about. Or loud and crazy like that kid. Now, that kid, I can understand. I guess he tried to get into the cockpit. But every day now, we got a report on somebody in an airplane. Here, I got an idea. Take a big fire extinguisher and crack it over his head with that. He'll fall down, tie him up with duct tape, and we just keep right on flying. Put them in the lavatory, okay? The aft can is broken, folks. You may want to use first class. We got a guy tied up in there. And the other thing is, do we have to report all of this? I am honest to God, I am more and more along on the side of the president and other people who say, you know, this has become ridiculous the way every scrap, there's so much airtime that has to be filled with baloney anyway. There's so many cable channels. They're all 24 hours. All you have to do is look at half of the reports, they're repeating the same footage. But because they need to keep reporting this stuff, man, they got to report every scrap of bull crap that comes down the pike. This anthrax thing has gone on about 4 days too long. Got a problem? Yeah. Terrorism? Not really. Criminal? Probably. All right, we'll let you guys do your job.
Okay.
But this morning, I'm listening to a doctor weighing in on whether it's terrorism or not. By the way, this morning, we just got this word in. A guy farted in an airplane. They believe that his ass could have anthrax, so they landed the plane. We'll have more information as we move along. 1-800-449-8686. Nathan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, Phil?
Hi, Nathan.
Hey. I just wanted to find out, this is completely has nothing to do with current events. So
cool.
But do you choose the music that you are using right now, the clips for your segues?
You mean for our rejoin, what we call our rejoin? That music was chosen by Craig Taylor, our engineer.
Okay. Moonshine. Well, Craig Taylor's got excellent taste in music.
Oh, it's on Moonshine Records. It's a lot of techno stuff that Craig, on Friday nights, he goes with his lovely lady Nikki out to a variety of bars and dance joints, makes note through his vodka haze as to what it is he's listening to, and then brings it in and dubs it off for our show on Monday. So he goes to a club. What's your favorite club in town?
Is
it Clockwork? No, I'm asking. He goes to a club in Hollywood called Clockwork Orange.
Oh.
And it's got a lot of guys with jock straps and big noses, and they, you know, it's great. it's fantastic.
Nice choice in music, Craig. It really.
Lay a little of that on us, Craig. Go ahead, man. Put some of that crap up there, man.
Yeah.
There you go. Makes you want to move your ass, doesn't it?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, brother. Okay, that's enough.
That's good.
Cool.
I wasn't sure if you were choosing that or somebody else.
Yeah, that's our rejoin stuff.
Yeah,
I got a philosophy about bumper music, or what we call rejoin music. I don't want to hear a popular song because it may be a song that I like. And then if the guy starts talking and the song goes away, then I'm really mad at the guy for having played the song in the first place. So we play music that is good, but it's perhaps unfamiliar to most of the audience.
I totally recognize that. I know who the artist was. I won't say it on the air
because it's really
good stuff.
All right,
and I have most of his CDs.
Thanks.
Yeah,
good talking.
Have a good one.
All right, bye. So there we did 3 minutes on our bumper music. You wouldn't know that the world's coming apart at the seams, would you? 1-800-449-8686. Rich, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, I've just got a quick comment for you, Phil.
Yes, sir.
We're talking about people busting into cockpits and everything. Well, why don't the airlines, or why doesn't Boeing create a plane that has a cockpit on a separate level so that none of the passengers can get into the cockpit?
Probably expense. You mean like a 747 where they got that first class lounge upstairs?
Yeah, something different. Isn't working.
The old 747s, I think, had the cockpit as well as the first class lounge on a separate level. Yeah, I think it's probably just expense. When it comes down to it in this world, everything costs money, and everybody is complaining they ain't got enough money. And everybody's getting overcharged, and everyone's making too much. You know what I'm saying? It comes down to the old cover my ass, who's got my dough, you got my money, I got my money, who's charging me more? Do I get paid enough? Are you getting paid enough? Am I paying too much? Are you making me pay too much? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
That's the other merry-go-round we're on, man.
Hey, let me ask you this about the 22 terrorists that they have.
Yeah.
How are they going to find these guys? I mean, if they're holed up in a cave, how are they going to locate them?
Well,
I
think
we have people on the inside.
We got people on the ground. We have people on the ground right now. We have a covert effort going on in terms of the intelligence community. We have a covert effort going on not only in Afghanistan but internationally, Europe, Asia. I don't doubt that right now there's somebody sitting slumped in a chair in an apartment in Germany with a little trickle of blood coming down the side of his head, and maybe The Simpsons on TV, and a little card on his stomach that says courtesy CIA. I don't know. It's a sweet thought, though, isn't it? But I think that that's where the bulk of this war is going to be fought, and as it should. Phil Hendry Show.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
Okay, I'm on the air right now, David. We can keep on talking about this.
I said I'm over at the Big Top on 6th.
That's a bar.
Yeah.
Well, all I know, Mike said that you called in and that you were very depressed.
Well, I can't believe what's happened to me. And Phil, I didn't mean to interrupt you. But I guess I just needed to talk to somebody.
Let me tell the audience what's going on, at least who I'm talking to.
Yeah.
I'm talking to David G. Hawley. He's the vice president of syndication for our show. You needed to talk to someone. We're on the air right now. If you don't mind, I'll talk to you.
I'm sorry that I interrupted.
But we are on the air, so if it's anything of a personal nature...
It's personal, but if you'll just allow me to unburden myself...
You don't mind people hearing?
I don't know what else I can do.
You're in a bar right now, because I can hear it in the background.
Yeah. I needed a drink. I stopped in. I wanted to shoot some pool and just have a drink and think.
What's going on, David?
I just came over from the... doctor's office.
What's going on, man?
I have anthrax.
Bull crap.
I can't believe it.
You have anthrax.
I can't believe it.
When did you hear this?
This afternoon.
How did you get it? Did the doctor, did he diagnose this?
Yeah, he did this afternoon.
You were feeling sick?
I was. I felt funny. I had flu-like symptoms. I had sweats, a little fever. I had a malaise.
And you went to the doctors. You were diagnosed?
I was at the nurse's station, and they asked me to come back. And so I said, can I go get a drink? And they said, yeah. I had diarrhea for 2 days.
You've got anthrax. You should go back to the doctor's office right now or go to the hospital.
Well, they want to put me in a hospital, but I said I need a drink, and they said, go ahead. But I got to get back there in a half an hour. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I'm scared, Phil. You were on your show yesterday saying that this anthrax thing was a big to-do about nothing.
Well, I had no idea. I mean, what did they tell you about how contagious this is?
I don't know. Did you use the phone in my office yesterday?
Yes, I did.
Oh, Jesus.
Wait a second, man. Come on.
You know that I...
David...
Phil, get yourself tested. That's all I'm saying. I didn't mean to screw your show up.
You called me up now, man, and you tell me that I've been using your phone. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen.
I didn't mean to upset you.
Well, I don't know what to say. I'm scared.
I didn't mean to upset you, Phil.
If I have anthrax, I've got to get to my wife and my kids. I shouldn't even be on the air right now.
Well, Phil, all it takes is one spore. I have a family, too.
I got to get off the air, David. I can't be... If I've got anthrax...
Look, they'll probably put us in quarantine along with the AIDS patients and any folks with leprosy.
I was planning my future. I was plotting out how to... I have to leave the air.
Phil, I got to... I'm going to let you leave the air, okay? And I know that your listeners will understand the fact that I've tested for anthrax.
I need to get to a doctor is all I'm saying.
No, I want you to get to a doctor. The chances are you've got it if you use my phone. Because...
But you're not a doctor, so you don't know.
No, that's true. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. But I bet $1 million you got anthrax right now flowing through your blood. Phil, I'm sorry you're upset.
I'm scared, man. I got to get off the air now, okay? And I apologize to my listeners.
Let me just tell you, have you had diarrhea?
No, I haven't had any symptoms, man. I'm fine. I need to get
get off the air, okay?
All right, look. So I need to tell you one more thing.
What?
I'm only kidding. I don't have anthrax.
What?
I'm joking. I don't have anthrax. I called in.
You don't have anthrax.
I did it because your ratings with women have been in the toilet. And
is this a rating stunt? I was in tears. You scared me half to death. You call in, you say you have anthrax?
Look, we saw the numbers from the last book. Your numbers with women are in the toilet. And then,
well, what has this got to do with anything that we're talking about?
Will you shut up?
Shut up? You called...
Will you shut up and let me finish the statement?
Look at me, I'm crying like a baby over here.
Quit being such a sissy.
Okay, go ahead.
Look, your ratings with women have been in the toilet, and because women like drama and they love the human experience...
So you cook up something where you call it and say you got anthrax.
Will you let me finish? Because women like drama and they love the human experience, they love the resolution of a problem. And you need to touch women in that special place. This bit just touched women in the special place.
It touched them in the special place.
You yelling at me?
Why can't I yell at you?
I don't like being yelled at.
Well, why shouldn't I be able to yell at you? You come on here and say you got anthrax.
Look, do you understand what just happened?
I understand that you called here and scared me half to death by saying that you had anthrax, and because I used your phone in your office, maybe I got it too. I'm having a nervous breakdown.
And all the while, the broads or the women are, whatever you want to call them, they're eating this stuff up. And
how do you figure they're eating it up?
Because they're saying that poor David Hawley's got anthrax. And what do you think they're thinking now? Huh?
Yeah, what are they thinking now that you say they're just kidding?
They're relieved. They're sitting back in their kitchen. They're patting their chests. And the women say things where they say, oh, mercy me, I've got the vapors, that kind of deal. See, I just put them on my side by saying I had anthrax.
You put them on your side by saying you had anthrax. And what about me?
Look, women are gullible. They buy this stuff.
What about me being scared half to death by saying that I might have had anthrax by using your phone?
That's part of the drama. Look, I'm letting you raise your voice because I know that you're upset. Ordinarily, I don't let any employee raise their voice to me. You understand that, don't you?
Look, David, what I...
You understand that, don't you? Ordinarily, I would fire you for yelling at me.
And what do I get to do because you said you had anthrax?
I was clowning.
Clowning?
Clowning around. I don't have anthrax. I don't know about you, but...
Well, maybe I can say that I don't either.
All right, if you know... I had this whole thing about how I got it at a dude ranch and I'd been milking a cow. I didn't get that out, but the fact is I'm just kidding. Women like... drama, Phil.
Yeah, women like drama. So they like it when you come on and say you got anthrax. I got to take a break. Is that okay?
What?
I got to take a break. Is that okay?
Don't raise your voice to me.
I'm asking a question. Can I take a break?
Go ahead. Give out the phone numbers.
1-800-449-8686.
And I don't have anthrax.
And David Hall does not have anthrax.
And as far as we know, neither do you.
As far as we know, neither do I.
Although I don't know where you've been.
Although he doesn't know what do you mean you don't know where I've been? 1-800-449-8686. My hands are sweating. My pulse is pounding. We've got all this crap going on in Florida. And he comes on the air and says he's got anthrax. Scared me half to death. You there?
Yeah. What? What do you want?
I got to go to the phones here.
Go ahead.
Get on Jen, the air and
Jen,
do that.
Jen, hello. You're on the air, Jen. Go ahead.
How dare... David, get on the air.
Were you talking? You weren't even on the air? You weren't on the air when you were talking, ma'am. Could you repeat that?
Okay. How does David dare come on the air of a radio, live radio show...
That's what I'm...
...and say he has anthrax?
I'm joking
he
around.
He could have said the whole... area that's listening, if they were in any kind of contact to you guys, into a panic. That is not even funny with the stuff that's going on.
But wait a second. It gets women like drama. You're a woman, ma'am. Don't you like drama?
Yes, I'm a woman. But no, I don't like drama. I have more balls in me than you.
Wait a second. Weren't you feeling good for me when you found out I was only joking about having anthrax?
No, because I knew all along you were joking about it.
You knew all along?
How?
Oh, my God. Well, I wish you would have called sooner because I thought the guy had anthrax.
I was listening to it, and I'm like, how dare he have the balls to come on the air and say he has anthrax?
How'd you figure I was joking? I really want to know. How'd
yeah,
you
but obviously you're not in the medical profession, and you don't know what kind of stuff just that word could send people into.
Well, wait a minute.
Let alone somebody saying, I have it.
Wait a minute. How did you know I was clowning?
Just the way you were talking. I could tell.
Oh, thank God is all I got to say.
Will you shut up, you sissy?
How can you call me that when you say you got anthrax and that I was using your phone?
See the drama that I created? And this woman called in because she feels better that you don't have anthrax. Don't you, lady?
What was that?
Don't you feel better that Henry doesn't have anthrax?
I knew he was joking all along, and if he actually did, I would have said, well, you know, I know he should, you know, I shouldn't say it, but, you know, he has it. We got to find out how he had it. But I knew right from the start he was joking, so I wasn't even amused by
Even
had any concern.
Oh, so what are you calling for then? I thought you were involved in the high drama of me having anthrax.
Yeah.
I was listening, and I just cannot believe you would have the balls come on
a
live radio program and say that.
Wait a second. You don't like me saying that I got anthrax, but you didn't mind Henry crying about it.
Of course I'm going to cry about it.
I think he has every right to.
Every right.
What you did was very, very wrong.
Oh, he sounded like a nickel-plated sissy coming out. I gotta go home.
Well, of course I'd say that. What, am I gonna sit on the air here having been exposed to anthrax? And there you are. Oh, Phil, are you over at the Big Top right now?
Yeah, I'm having a couple of pops.
Oh, you're having a ball. You're over there having a couple of drinks, shooting pool. Let's call Henry and say we've got anthrax.
I think he's a drunk asshole, personally, and he needs to keep his mouth shut when he's drunk.
Who, me? Are you talking about...
No, David, the one that's out there at the bar.
Who, me? That's David out at the bar.
David should keep his mouth shut when he's drinking because he just doesn't think before he talks and just comes out sounding like an asshole.
What are you drinking?
Jen? Me?
No, not you. I'm asking Dave.
What are you drinking, Jen?
Forget about her. What are you drinking?
What are you drinking?
Well, I had about three... I'm not drinking! What are you drinking?
Gentleman Jack and a water back.
Gentleman Jack and a water back. And let's call up Henry and say I've got anthrax as a topper on your Wednesday night.
What a baby.
I think that's a very crude joke to pull just to try to get ratings.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you for your call. Trying to get women to listen, huh?
You better lower your voice.
Trying to get women to listen.
That's right. And you see that woman? She, liked it?
Yeah, liked it. Well, you really got her on your side. So the guy's on his way home from work, decides he'll stop into the Big Top and have himself a pop, and oh yeah, go over to the payphone, call Henry, and say he's got anthrax. Oh. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Henry Show.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Let me tell you something. When Michael J. Fox got Alzheimer's disease, every woman in America wanted to kiss his rear end and bring him chicken soup. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. So we come on and say you got anthrax or I got anthrax, it makes women dig you.
Yeah, that's it. And they'll want to come and bring me chicken soup. Is that it?
Did Michael J. Fox get a lot of broads, women listening to him when he got Alzheimer's?
He don't have Alzheimer's.
Well, what has he got?
He's got Parkinson's, or is that what it is? Parkinson's.
Oh, well, whatever. I don't know what it is, but the guy's not exactly going up and down escalators too good, is he?
No, okay.
All right, the women like that. And you're screaming at me?
You're not going to get any women.
Look at Christopher Reeve. When Christopher Reeve, when his neck got busted, Hello?
Yeah, hold on. Here is Susie on the Phil Henry Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Yes, you told me to hold.
Yes, ma'am, you're on the air right now.
Yes, I'm on the air. I just want you to know that I lost friends in the World Trade Center, and I think that what you... Hello?
Where were they working?
Excuse me?
Where'd they work?
They worked for Cantor Fitzgerald, and I think what you do is absolutely horrible.
Oh, wait a second.
Really think that I am going to put a sign up at my job telling people not to listen to your radio station.
You should put a sign up that says you don't have anthrax. Because
that's fantastic.
I think that I really am going to put a sign up, and your show should be taken off the air.
Look
because
that,
there
Henry
are people in the United States that are mourning from people that died at the World Trade Center, and you're pulling a stunt like this. This is not a time to joke about something like that.
Your friend died from anthrax, huh?
No, her friend didn't die from anthrax.
I think the way that you're playing with the minds of the people, you're not giving anybody any credibility.
That's right.
The people in the United States have brains, and what you're doing to
the
people
in the United
States
have brains. I'm going to put that on the 6 o'clock news. The people in the United States have brains.
Okay, fine. That's great. I'm really winning some friends out there.
What did you do, hang up on her?
Yes, I did. She's going to put a sign up at her desk at her work that says, don't listen to my radio station.
Which one's that?
I don't know which one she's listening to.
Well, then she can't put the sign up, can she?
I guess you... Yeah, she can put it up. She knows which one she's listening to.
Which one?
I don't know. Here is Tracy on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hi. I can't believe the two of you just did that. It was an obvious rehearsed skit. And how dare you
second.
Play with people's emotions like that?
Wait a second. I didn't rehearse anything.
She's on to you, Phil.
What do you mean she's on to me?
She knows you were with me on this.
You rehearsed this whole thing.
I did not.
If someone just told my boss, I'd get up and leave.
Oh, that language.
Yeah, see, you rehearsed it with me.
You know full well I didn't.
Well, she thinks you did.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I got to take you off the air, man.
Why?
Because of all these idiots that think that anthrax is all over the country because one guy got it.
I'm just trying to get your ratings of the...
That's it. If I get fired, I get fired. Everybody out there in a panic, and this guy calls up, Gee, Phil, I went to a dude ranch last weekend. I think I got anthrax. And then that woman thinks that I rehearsed it with him. I didn't rehearse anything with him. I was doing his voice. So I didn't need to rehearse anything. I just came on and did the voice of David G. Hall, then did my own voice. What's that you say? You don't know what the hell it is that I'm talking about? You're agog and aghast? You're sure that the two of us cooked up some kind of a wild, crazy scheme? Some kind of a nutty, goofy, idiotic, unfunny radio bit? Well, let me just tell you a little bit about our show. Hi, everybody. I'm Phil Henry, and I do the voices of all the guests on my show. I was doing the voice of David G. Hall. And that's what the Phil Henry Show is about. Satire, sometimes stepping over the line, sometimes stepping just this side of it, but always freaking out radio stations that carry our show who, you know, have nervous, diuretic and bedwetting program directors. Anyway, but it's all in good fun. By the way, Mike, I want to thank you for giving me a copy of that CD you cut. That's Mike on the horn. And he's leaving to play at the Big Top Bar Friday night. Phil Henry Show.